Welcome to another eye-opening episode of Revealing the Truth About Islam, the radio show that shines the light of truth into the darkness of Islam. Exposing the lies of Muhammad, exposing the errors in the Quran. It's Revealing the Truth About Islam. And now, here's your host, author, conference speaker, and Islamic expert, Usama Dakdak.
And hello and greetings to you in the name of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. It is our joy to have you with us as we continue our study of commentaries on the Quran. Today we will be looking at the true biblical account to Lot, what took place in the life of Lot. But before we do that, let me read to you the story in three verses in the Quran. And that is where we learn about the dispute between Abraham and the visitors concerning Lot and the people of Lot. And that is what we read in Quran chapter 11, verses 74, 75, and 76. For in these verses we read the following. So when Abraham's fear had gone and the good news had reached him, he, that is Abraham, disputed with us for the people of Lot. In verse 75, surely Abraham was meek, awa, which is a non-Arabic word without meaning, often turning. In verse 76, O Abraham, leave this. Surely, indeed, the command of your Lord came, and surely the torment will come to them. It will not be turned back. When we read these three verses in the Quran, we could not figure out what Allah is talking about. Obviously, Christians know what Muhammad is trying to say. But reading these verses would bring us that there was some dispute between Abraham and the visitors, which we do not know how many or who they were. And that is clear when Allah said, so when he disputed with us, about what? About the people of Lot. What was the dispute about? If we read the entire Quran, we do not know. But in verse 76 of Quran chapter 11, we know for sure that there will be some torment will come on the people of Lot. Now, we have covered in the last few broadcasts the different stories which Muhammad mentioned in the Quran concerning the people of Lot. First of all, we saw that Lot was the messenger or the prophet whom Allah sent to his people. We found out actually he was their brother. And then we found out, no, actually Lot was just a normal man who lived in that city and Allah sent his messengers to Lot. Then we learned from the Quran that the sin of the people of Lot was the sin of homosexuality. Even though the Quran in many of the passages did not tell us exactly what it is, but we can figure it out from the context of other locations in the Quran. And we also found out that there is a punishment that came on the people of Lot. Different chapters in the Quran with contradictory punishments. Sometimes the punishment was rain, sometimes it was baked clay, miraculously with the name written on each one for whomever that piece of rock will fall on to kill. Sometimes the city was turned upside down, or some other time the city was destroyed by a loud shout, or all the previous punishments together in another chapter. But what is the real story of Lot concerning the people of Sodom and Gomorrah? And to understand the answer for that question, we must go back to the Genesis account. First, let me share with you the very important information about these visitors who came to Abraham. According to the Quran, they're just some visitors, but according to the Bible, there were three angels. According to the Quran, we do not know where they come from and where they're going to. They're just some messengers. But according to the Bible, we know that these three were the Lord Jesus Christ and two angels who appeared like humans. Now, let me share with you about the dispute between the Lord God and Abraham. And that is what is written in the book of Genesis. For in verse 17 in Genesis chapter 18, we read, and the Lord, that is capital L-O-R-D, that is the Lord Jesus Christ, said, What did he say? Shall I hide from Abraham what I am doing, since Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him. That is how the conversation started. It was not Abraham disputing with the visitors, or it was not Abraham who started the conversation by saying, what's up with you about what you're about to do? But it was the Lord himself who spoke with Abraham. He is the one who wanted Abraham to know about what is coming to Sodom and Gomorrah. We know in verse 22 that the two other angels, which the Bible called men, were sent to Sodom and Gomorrah. But then in verse 23, we learn about that dispute. And Abraham came near and said, would you also destroy the righteous with the wicked? Suppose there were 50 righteous within the city. Would you also destroy the place and not spare it for the 50 righteous that were in it? Abram continued in verse 25, far be it for you to do such a thing as this, to slay the righteous with the wicked, so that the righteous should be as the wicked. Far be it from you. Shall not the judge of all the earth do right? And we obviously know the rest of the conversation between the Lord and Abraham. For the Lord said, if there will be 50 righteous there, I will not destroy it. And the number kept going from 50 to 45 to 40 to 35 to 30 to 25 to 20 to 15 to 10. And obviously, we know how the story ended. The Lord told Abraham that there was not even 10 righteous men in the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah. Obviously, by reading the Genesis account, we know exactly what Muhammad was trying to tell his people in the Quran, that Abraham disputed with us. But why Muhammad did not put the story in the Quran? Was he not familiar with it? Obviously, the answer is no. He was very familiar with it. But why he did not put that story in the Quran? The answer is very simple, because he used the same information of the story for himself, as he created a great miracle for himself. You may have heard me talking about that in the past, but let me share it with you quickly here in few words. You see, Muhammad claimed that he was visited by an angel, and somehow, miraculously, he was removed from his bed in his house to Jerusalem. And there Muhammad prayed the Muslim prayer with all the prophets, with all the messengers who came before him. By the way, that's why Muslims believe that the Aqsa Mosque is a holy site and they have the right to take it. And then miraculously, Muhammad was able to ride on his mule all the way up to the seven heavens. To make the long story short, when Muhammad arrived to the seventh heaven, he actually met with Allah, and Allah told him, here is a new command, Muhammad. I want you to tell your people to pray to me and worship me 50 times a day. Are you familiar with the number 50? Yes, it was the number Abraham chose when he asked the Lord not to destroy the city if there were 50 righteous men. Then we know from the fabricated story of Muhammad in the hadith that he said to Allah, yes, indeed, as Muhammad was going down to earth, he met with Prophet Moses and he told him that Allah wanted Muhammad to pray with his Muslim believers 50 times a day. And that's when the dispute took place between Moses and Muhammad. And Moses told him, that is too much. Nobody will believe in you and no one will pray 50 times a day. Then we learn from the hadith that Muhammad returned to the seventh heaven as he spoke to Allah, and now the negotiation took place between Muhammad and Allah, and the number of prayer continued to be lessened 5 times at a time, from 50 to 45 to 40 to 35 to 30 to 25 to 20 to 15 to 10 to 5. Finally, when Muhammad told Moses that Allah changed the number to 5 daily prayers, that is when Moses gave Muhammad the sums up, telling him, you got it, buddy. That is the right number of prayers for your people. And that's when Muhammad continued in his journey from the fourth heaven, where he met with Moses, to earth. And by the way, his bed was still warm. That is how Muhammad picked up the biblical account, turned it to his own personal miracles, which all Muslims believe in. That's why, once again, Muhammad did not mention that portion of Abraham's story in the Quran.
The Straight Wave Grace Ministry is excited to announce our creation of two new convenient materials to help you in your ministry to the Muslim community. Our first booklet is titled, The Straight Way to Eternal Life. How many times have you met a Muslim man or woman, maybe in an airport or on a bus or in your neighborhood, and you felt burdened to share the good news of Jesus Christ, but you didn't know what to say or even where to begin? We have produced a small, convenient tract that will empower you to reach those lost in the deception of Islam. This 24-page mini booklet will share three facts. First, it seeks to convince Muslims that the Bible has not been corrupted, using just the verses from the Quran. Secondly, it reveals convincing proof that the Quran cannot be the Word of God due to an overwhelming number of errors and contradictions. Finally, it clearly presents the loving truth of the soul-saving gospel of Jesus Christ. Our second new booklet addresses the violent nature of the core teachings of Islam. Muslims continually claim that Islam is a loving and peaceful religion. They also insist that violence is committed by only a few radicals who misunderstand Muhammad's teachings in the Quran. But is this true? This new booklet, titled The Violent Truth About Islam, examines dozens of passages from the Quran, the Hadith, and Muslim scholars. This powerful booklet will leave no doubt that Islam's long history of intolerance and bloodshed arise from the very words of Allah and the example of Muhammad's life. Please visit thestraightway.org for ordering information. And now, back to our show.
Now let us move together to Genesis chapter 19 to learn about the true story of the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah. And in verse 1, now the two angels came to Sodom in the evening, and Lot was sitting in the gate of Sodom. When Lot saw them, he rose to meet them, and he bowed himself with his face toward the ground. And he said, "Hear now, my lords, please turn into your servant's house and spend the night and wash your feet. Then you may rise early and go on your way." And they said, "No, but we will spend the night in the open square." But he, that is Lot, insisted strongly. So they turned into him and entered his house. Then he made them a feast and baked unleavened bread, and they ate. Notice the Bible is very clear. Not like in the case of the Quran, somehow Muhammad convinced his wonderful Muslim gullible believers to know that these visitors of Abraham or Lot did not eat the food. But obviously in the Genesis account, we know that they ate at Abraham's place and they ate at Lot's house. In verse 4, we read, "Now before they lay down, the men of the city, the men of Sodom, both old and young, all the people from every quarter surrounded the house, and they called to Lot and said to him, 'Where are the men who came to you tonight? Bring them out to us that we may know them carnally.' So Lot went out to them through the doorway, shut the door behind him, and said, 'Please, my brethren, do not do so wickedly. See, now I have two daughters who have not known a man. Please, let me bring them out to you, and you may do to them as you wish. Only do nothing to these men, since this is the reason they have come under the shadow of my roof.' And they said, 'Stand back.' Then they said, 'This one came in to stay here, and he keeps acting as a judge. Now we will deal worse with you than with them.' So they pressed hard against the man Lot and came near to break down the door." Obviously, from these words, we know that Lot was not a prophet or a messenger whom God sent to the people of Sodom and Gomorrah, as Muhammad claimed in the Quran. Notice what happened in verse 10 of Genesis 19. "But the men," these are the two angels who were inside the house of Lot, "reach out their hands and pulled Lot into the house with them and shut the door. and they struck the men who were at the doorway of the house with blindness, both small and great, so that they became weary trying to find the door. This is a clear message. From simply reading it, we can find out the true details of the story, which Muhammad could not put in words in his great poetry of the Arabic Quran. In verse 12, we read, "Then the man said to Lot, 'Have you anyone else here? Son-in-law, your sons, your daughters, and whomever you have in the city, take them out of this place, for we will destroy this place because the outcry against them has grown great before the face of the Lord, and the Lord has sent us to destroy it.'" From these verses we know, obviously, Lot had other children besides the two single daughters who were living under his roof. In verse 14, we read, "So Lot went out and spoke to his sons-in-law who had married his daughters and said, 'Get up, get out of this place, for the Lord will destroy this city.' But to his sons-in-law, he seemed to be joking." That shows you the true nature of Lot, even with his own family, the man who lived to suffer all the days of his life in the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah. Not as we read in the Quran that some of the people believed in him. No. Not even his own sons-in-laws, his own daughters, except his warning, but they thought that he was just being funny, a man who's making jokes. In verse 15 of Genesis 19, we read, "When the morning dawned, the angels urged Lot to hurry, saying, 'Arise, take your wife and your two daughters who are here, lest you be consumed in the punishment of the city.'" Notice here the command of the two angels to Lot not to leave his wife behind or not to save his wife. Their desire was for Lot and his two daughters and his wife to be delivered. In verse 16, "And while he lingered, the men took hold of his hand, his wife's hand, and the hands of his two daughters, the Lord being merciful to him, and they brought him out and set him outside the city." That is exactly the Lord's plan, to save, to deliver Lot and his wife and his two daughters. Once again, not like the Quran ridiculously telling us from the beginning that the visitors told Lot that his wife will not make it, as the story was repeated throughout the Quran. In verse 17, "So it came to pass, when they had brought them outside, that they said, 'Escape for your life. Do not look behind you, nor stay anywhere in the plain. Escape to the mountains, lest you be destroyed.'" Here is a free will, the command of the angels to Lot, his wife, two daughters, to escape and not to look behind. And what will happen? If they look behind, they will be destroyed. "Then Lot said to them, 'Please, no, my lords. Indeed, now your servant has found favor in your sight, and you have increased your mercy, which you have shown me by saving my life. But I cannot escape to the mountains, lest some evil overtake me and I die. See now, this city is near enough to flee to, and it is a little one. Please, let me escape there. Is it not a little one? And my soul shall live.' And he said to him, 'See, I have favored you concerning this thing also, in that I will not overthrow this city for which you have spoken. Hurry, escape there, for I cannot do anything until you arrive there.' Therefore, the name of the city was called Zoar." In verse 23, "The sun had risen upon the earth when Lot entered Zoar. Then the Lord rained brimstone and fire on Sodom and Gomorrah from the Lord out of the heavens." Notice here, the Bible does not say rained rain or rained baked clay or there was some shout. No. It was rain of brimstone and fire. Somehow Muhammad or those who wrote the Quran forgot to read that verse. In verse 25, we read, so he overthrew those cities, all the plain, all the inhabitants of the cities, and what grew on the ground. Everything in the five cities of Sodom and Gomorrah were destroyed. And then we read in verse 26, but his wife, that is Lot's wife, looked back behind him, and she became a pillar of salt. That is exactly how Lot's wife perished. She became a pillar of salt, something Muhammad did not know. For as we have read in the Quran, we discovered that the punishment on the people of Lot was the same punishment on Lot's wife. And obviously, that's not true. And the reason she was destroyed and became a pillar of salt, not because she stayed in Sodom and Gomorrah, but simply because she looked back. As the angel said, do not look back or you will be destroyed. In verse 27, we read, and Abraham went early in the morning to the place where he had stood before the Lord. Then he looked toward Sodom and Gomorrah and towards all the land of the plain. And he saw, and behold, the smoke of the land which went up like the smoke of a furnace. Yes, the whole entire land was destroyed by the brimstone and fire. We encourage you, our dear listeners, especially our Muslim friends, to go back to the Genesis account and to read the details of the story of Lot. In our next broadcast, we will continue our study with what else the Quran says about Abraham. And until we meet again, may the true God of the Bible continue to bless you and yours.
Perhaps the greatest fear that Muslims have is the constant insecurity that the Quran declares about heaven and hell. According to Islam, no one can know for sure if they will spend eternity with the Lord in heaven or suffering apart from him in hell. Even Muhammad said that he did not know if even he would make it to paradise. Did you know that the Bible says that you can know 100% for sure that your soul will be with the Lord after death? God knows that it would be impossible to live a life of joy and peace if a person was always in doubt about their soul. God wants you to be sure. In fact, Jesus had to come to this earth and die on the cross so that you could know that you had eternal life. You see, our problem is sin, which is rebellion against the God who created us and loves us. God is perfect and holy, and he cannot allow sin into his heaven. We must have our sins forgiven and removed, and that's why Jesus suffered and died on the cross, to pay the penalty for your sins and for mine. Because of what Jesus did on the cross, God can forgive you. He can save you, no matter who you are or what you have done. God has done everything necessary to save your soul, but now the decision is up to you. Will you turn away from your sin and rebellion and trust Jesus as your Lord and Savior? Good works, church attendance, and baptism cannot get your soul to heaven, but Jesus can. The Bible says, whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Why don't you call out to the Lord right now? Perhaps saying something like this. Dear God, I know that I'm a sinner and that I do deserve to be punished, but I believe that you sent Jesus to die for me, to pay the price for my sins. Right now, I turn away from my sin and I invite you to come and be my Lord and my Savior. Thank you for saving me. In Jesus' name, amen. Have you accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior? Or perhaps you have further questions about Islam or Christianity? Why not take a moment right now and visit us online at www.thestraightway.org. That's www.thestraightway.org. May God bless you richly until we meet again right here on Revealing the Truth About Islam. This program has come to you by satellite on the VCY America Network. Please support the station which carries this program. Thank you.